The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Ketubot has been dedicated by our dear friend Mr. Elliot Shasho. Hashem Yishmineu V'Hayehu. May the zikut of the limud of Masechet Ketubot stand for him that he should have Be'azat Hashem, Hashanah Tovah Mborechet, Osher Ve'osher Ve'chavod, Shalom Bayit V'Hatzlacha Bechol Ma'aseh Yadav. And Be'azat Hashem, may he continue to be a supporter of Torah and all holy projects. Amen.
Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Uri Nidam, Hashem Yishmineu V'Hayehu, in honor of all the members of the Minyan, all the members of the Daf HaYomi, and in honor of the Rabbi, Tiskel Mitzvot, may he continue to succeed. Atzlacha v'arvacha b'chol ma'asei yadav. Amen.
Daf Kof Vav. Today's daf is being studied in Nishmat Avraham ben Esther, Ruach Hashem Tenehenu ben Yanahidin. Amen. Today's daf is being studied for Ashidema, Yosef ben Sarab ben Sarab Bat, Rachel Enna Refan Lahem, Betoch Shalach Olam Yisrael. Amen. We begin today's daf on Kof Vav Amud Rishon, and we are on the fourth line. We learned in the previous daf the story of Rav Anan. Rav Anan had a case. A fellow came and brought him fish. He accepted the fish because the man told him he wants to give a gift to a Tamid Hacham to fulfill the mitzvah like giving Bikurim. Good. So he said, but I can't judge you now. So he sent him to Rav Nachman. He told Rav Nachman, listen, judge this guy, I'm Pasul. Rav Nachman said, the reason why he's Pasul, because he's a relative. But relative of Rav Anan, we got to treat him with respect. So when he came into the court, so that first of all, Rav Nachman pushed off another case that he was judging with the Yatomim, because this is only one mitzvah, Shvatim Siddiq. But judging Rav Anan's relative, that's not only Shvatim Siddiq, but it's also Kavod Torah. It's two mitzvot. Oh, so in the case, the other fellow on the other side saw how much respect that the so-called Rav Anan's relative, I say so-called relative, was getting respect. He couldn't even say his claims. So Gemara says, Rav Anan, avaragid Eliyahu da'ate gabe. Eliyahu Navi used to come to learn with Rav Anan. Davam matne le seder de Eliyahu. They would teach him seder de Eliyahu. They called that the Tanit of Eliyahu, all the bright thought of Eliyahu Navi. Kevan David Acheh. But once Rav Anan did this, which means he unintentionally caused this scenario to take place, he misled Rav Anan thinking that it was his relative. Istalak. And Yahweh Nevi stopped coming to him. Yativ b'ta'anita. So he started to fast. Uba'a rachamen, he prayed. Ve'ata. And Yahweh Nevi came. Ki ata avam mev'it leba'ote. But Yahweh Nevi came like an angel, and he was scaring him. So the Rav Anan got scared. Ve'avat buta. So he made a box. Ve'yativ kameh. And he sat in the box. Ad apik le sidre. Until he finished teaching him the Seder, which is he learned it in the box. Originally he learned it out of the box when he was learning with him regularly, but after this he had to learn in the box. That's what they say. Seder de Eliyahu Rabba ve Seder Eliyahu Zuta. There was two limudim. The first limud out of the box when he learned with him, they called Eliyahu Rabba. Why? Because the Rebbe reviewed it with him four times, so Safot says, which means it was a strong limud. But then after the Rebbe came the second time, he was scaring him, so he had to learn in the box, in the Teva. So they called that Eliyahu Zuta, which means he wasn't able to learn it as many times as he did before. Those are the two limudim, Eliyahu Rabba and Eliyahu Zuta. That's the way they explain. Well, actually, the way he explains it over here is not that he reviewed it four times, but the first time, Rav Anan learned from Eliyahu four times as much as he learned the second time. It's in the quantity. That's why Eliyahu Rabba, the first Derashot he gave him was a lot, and then the second one was Eliyahu Zuta, small. Okay. Bishnei de Rav Yosef, in the days of Rav Yosef, in the years of Rav Yosef, Hava Rita, through the anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the anger manifested in a hunger, famine. Amri led a banana of Yosef. So the rabbis told of Yosef, Levayim or Rahameh, pray for us, pray that the famine ends. Amar lehu, Hashta, Uma Elisha. In the days of Elisha, Dechi Yavu Rabbanan Mifterim Mekameh. When the rabbis would leave the shi'ur of Elisha, Havu Faishia. How many students were left over? Tere Alfan Umatan. 2,200 students, which means, the Gemara is saying, that after the shiur was over, there was 2,200 needy people in the time of the famine, in the times of Elisha, didn't have any food. Rabbanan rabbis, Bi'idan Ritha, and it was a time of famine, a time of anger, Lo Ava Ba'e Rahameh. And what? Elisha did not pray in that time. Anna Ave Rahameh. I'm going to pray. If Elisha felt that in this time of famine there was a reason that he didn't pray, who am I to pray? It was 2,200 people that were in that, were in, that had Tamidim were in trouble. He still didn't pray. So says, who says there were so many people? Now it says they had altogether 22 loaves of bread. In the Pasuk it says there were 22 loaves of bread. So the Navi says, I'm going to give the 22 loaves in front of 100 people. So Gemara says, "My defne me'aish." What does it mean, 22 loaves in front of 100 people? Ili ma'dechudu defne me'aish. If you're saying, meaning that all 100 people ate 22 loaves, b'shne basore tuvavu, that's not bad. In a time of famine, that's eating good. So therefore, that doesn't sound like any problem. Ela dechol had ve'had kameh me'aish. It meant that each loaf was split by 100 people. So that means you had 22 loaves. That means it was 2,200 people splitting those 22 loaves. So you see that was a tremendous type of famine in Tazvei Elisha. And still what? He didn't pray. So he says, what do you think? We should pray in this situation over here? And then she says, Havu Faishega Be'ochle Shulchano. After Shiro was over, he had 2,200 people eating at his table. Tre alafim umatam dechtiv asrim lechem. That's 20 breads. V'lechem bikurim. That's another lechem. Asim v'had. Nechermil. That's a 22nd one. Hare asim v'tartem. V'chol lechad v'fnei me'aish. Hare tre alafim umatayim. Ke'avu mifteri rabram b'rav. When the rabbis would, when the shiur of rav would finish, havu paishe. Who would sit at his table? Alfa umatan rabbanan. 1,200 hachamim. Mibir Ravuna, and from the Bibbidach of Ravuna, Havu Faishet Temane Me'ar Banan. 800 rabbis. Ravuna, Abad Darish, when Ravuna would give a shi'ud, there were so many people in the shi'ud of Ravuna, Betlesar Amura'eh. There were 13 mashmi'im. That means the room was so big and there were so many people, there were 13 people standing at different points of the room, screaming out to the people what Ravuna was saying. 13 people in the big, big room over there because they couldn't hear him. So you needed to broadcast his derashot. When the rabbis would finish the shiur of Ravuna and get up, so the gilimot, their robes, they were on the ground. And they all got dusty. So when they would get up, they would just shake their robes out. So all the dust now would go in the air. Havas salik avka. There was so much dust that would cover all the students. There were so many. The dust would cover the sun. And it was so dark as a result of it. Amre b'ma'araba. In Israel, they were able to see it. And they said, it must be that they're getting out of the shiur of Ravuna. Already it's getting dark. So they already must be from Israel. They have to see what's going on in Bavel as a result of so many students in Avunah Shi'ur. When the students would leave Rabban of Yosef Shi'ur, how many students were there? Arba me'ar banan. Okay, 400. They said, we're yetumim, we're orphans. Compared to the early rabbis that had so many students, we only have 400. Ki havu miftere Rabbanan me'be'a bayeh. Only 200 rabbis that would be in the shiur. They said, we're the orphans of orphans. Right? We don't even have 400 tamidim. Those are the ones that were, what's supposed to mean? Mibakre mumin. Literally, the ones that examine the animals to see if they have any blemishes. I guess to see if they're da'ui to bring as a korban. Right? For the kodashim. Right? They were the ones that inspectors of the animals. Okay? I think Gemara Bechorot says over here. There's certain blemishes that are not da'ui for the mizbeach. Okay? And the Mishnah says over here in Bechorot of Chafchet that the ones that would check the blemishes on an animal, they cannot take money from the owners of the animals. Because the Hakamim were concerned right, that they might come along and put a blemish in the animal itself in order to keep the animal. Which means, if you're getting paid, so therefore he'll rule it that it's a blemish, so the guy keeps the animal.
It's a flat rate.
In any event, the Gemara says that they would get paid. They get paid for Mahasita Shekel money. Trumata Lashka is Mahasita Shekel money. The money they collect every year for the Mahasita Shekel, that money also goes to pay for these people as well. Amar of Yudah, Amar Shmuel, Tamidei Hachamim, Hamlamedim Melchot Shechita Lekohanim. The rabbis that would teach the laws of Shechita to the Kohanim as well, Hayunotim Secharam Trumata Lashka. Because it's also considered Sorek Korbanot. The Mahasita Shekel not only paid for Korbanot, but anything that's connected to Korbanot. The Shechita of the Korbanot, the Bidikat Mumin of the Korbanot, all that gets paid from Trumata Lashka. Amar of Gidon Amarav, Tamidei Hachamim Melamedim Halachot Kemitza Lekohanim. The Tamidei Hachamim that would teach the law of Kemitza. Right, there was a special way how they would scoop up the flour, right, to put it on the mizbeach. Notin secharam trumat alishka. That's also considered tzorech korban. So then we get paid from the master shekel. Amar Rabba Baruch Rabba Hanan Rabbi Yochanan. Megihe sefarim shebirushalayim. Those are the right, the ones that would check the sefarim. People have books in their house. They would have Tanakh. They would have written books. So those people would go and they would check the sefarim to make sure that there's no mistakes, because it's a suit to have in a person's house books that are not checked. Rashi says, "Megiyes sefarim shekol adam ve'adam she'asul la'ashot sefer she'ena muga." Person cannot leave a sefer in his house if it's not checked. Meshum al tishkon ba'holecha avla, because the Torah says pasuk she'genal to keep a stumbling block. Or a avla literally means something that is wrong in your house. V'ra'u bedin she'imit atzlim edavar. People were lazy, they weren't checking their books. So the rabbis made hefker, and they said, you know what? You can take money from the Mahasita Shekel and pay the book correctors, the Sofrim, to go make sure they correct the books. Hayu notim sechem tumat nashka. Amar Rav Nachman amar Rav, nashim ha'orgot beparochet, the ladies, in the times of the second Beit HaMikdash, that were weaving the curtains for the walls of the Beit HaMikdash for certain areas, notlot secharam trumat alashka. They also get paid from trumat alashka, from the Mahasita Shekel. Comes the Gemara and says, what do you mean? Ve'ani omer mekodshei Beit Kabayit. But I say, no. This is Rav Nachman saying. I say they get paid from Beit Kabayit. What is Beit Kabayit? Beit Kabayit is money. The person, let's say, makes money hikdish. Right, this money is hikdash. What happens with that money? It goes into the treasury of the Beit HaMikdash, used for maintenance. What kind of maintenance? Building. Maintenance building for the construction of the Beit HaMikdash. So he says, parochet is really maintenance. It'd be building walls. So that goes to Beit HaKabayit. Ho'ilu parochet tahad binyan asuyot. Because in the second Beit HaMikdash, these parochets that they built were actually in place of walls that were in the first Beit HaMikdash. So just like walls come from Beit HaKabayit money, so therefore the parochet are coming instead of the walls. So it comes that we have a machloket over here, the parochet, these that they built, that they wove. You pay the ladies, and you pay the ladies. Do you pay them from Mahasita Shekel, or do you pay them from the Beit HaKabayit money? So comes the Gemara and says, Metive, we have a contradiction from a braita. Nashim ha'orgot beparochet, the ladies that would weave the parochot, his curtains, ubet garmu, and the family of garmu, al ma'aseh lechem panim, they were the family that were experts in baking the lechem panim, which was of a certain shape. And they knew exactly how to make the shape and pull it out of the pan, right, put it on the tables. That was family bet garmu. Ubet aptinas, al ma'aseh ketoret. Bet aptinas was the family. They were experts in making the ketoret, exactly what the 11 spices, how to make the smoke go up, etc. They were experts in it. Kulan, all of them, they would get it from the Trumat Lashka, from the Mahasita Shekel. So how can you say, we just learned over here that Rav Nachman said it was coming from Beit HaKabayit, the walls.
That's
talking about the entrance gates, which means there were certain walls that were made from parochot, from these curtains, that were replacing walls that were in the first Beit HaMikdash. If it's replacing a wall, that's maintenance. Maintenance already? Beit HaKabayit. These walls that we said over here, that it's coming from Nasita Sheke, from Terubat HaLishka, from the money of the Lishka, that's talking about Sini'ut walls. There were seven gates to enter, well, there was more than seven gates, but there were seven gates that we're discussing now that used to enter the Beit HaMikdash. So for Sini'ut purposes, so that people can't see outside, they would put a curtain over there. But there was no wall in the first Beit HaMikdash over there. So therefore, those walls come from Terubat HaLishka. Mashiach, the walls that were replacing walls of the first Beit HaMikdash, they came from Beit HaKabayit. That's where we're answering the contradiction. The Gemara says, actually, look at Rashi, Beit HaBebe. Bebe is a gate. Beparochot shekeneged hapetachim. Right? These walls, these curtains that were in front of the gates, delitzni'uta avidi. And they were really made for tzni'u purposes. Ve'enam tahat binyan. They weren't replacing a structure. Aval kol tzorich binyan, but anything that came from binyan, I'll tell you for example, we know that the first Beit HaMikdash, you have the Kodesh, and you have the Kodesh Kodashim. Right? And there was a space between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodashim. There was actually a wall that was built. It was a very narrow wall. The wall was only an ammah, separating between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodashim. But in the second Beit HaMikdash was very tall. They couldn't build such a high wall and support it so narrow, only an ammah, and be so high, because it would be no support. But they have to separate it by an ammah. So what did they do? What they did was they built two curtains. They put one curtain, and then they have like an ammah, and they put another curtain, separating, so that amount of airspace in between the two curtains. Now those two curtains actually are replacing a wall. So those two curtains over there would come from Beit HaKabayit. So let's read that in Nashi. Nashi says, Aval, kol tzorich b'yakur parok, adam mavdilo b'nei chalek kodshe kodashim. Kodesh Kodashim Shayu b'Megdash Sheni b'Mkom Amatraksin. They call it the Amatraksin. Sha'asas shalom b'Binyan Nishon v'Adshah Golah Asu et ha'echal gavoa me'od. See, the second Beit HaMikdash, the Echal was very tall. So you couldn't build this narrow Amah wall very high. Which means if you could make it thicker, it's no problem. 5-6 Amot, you can build it very high. Right. But a narrow wall can't go that high. Ve'lo yachol binyan be'ovi Amah litkeyem be'gova kazeh. Now, ular hevo lo yachlu. Now, just make it thicker. You can't do the fish mekatzlim et ha'echal. Because you take it away from the measurements of the Echal. Everything is already measured. Or you make it too thick and take it away from the Kodesh Kodashim. So they made two curtains. Of course, those came from Kodesh Beit HaKabayit. Let's read that inside the Gemara now. Gemara says, the Amar Bizera, Amar Rav Shelosha Asar Parochot Ayu B'Megdash. Actually, 13 parochot in the Megdash. Megdash Sheni, the second Beit HaMikdash. Shiva keneged shiva sha'arim. Okay, that's the babe. There were seven keneged the gates. Right? And those were for tzniut purposes. Therefore, it's from Terumat HaLishka. Echat lefetcho shel hechal. One is for the opening of the hechal. Ve'echat lefetcho shel ulam. And one is the entrance of the Ulam, Bet Bedivir, that's the ones we just talked about, inside the Divir itself, which is the two that make the Amah Traksin, and then Bet Kenegdam Ba'aliyah. Now, on the second floor of the Beit HaMikdash, went very high. He needed also to separate between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodashim. So he had two curtains on the first floor, and on the second floor also, corresponding to the ones that were below, he had another two curtains, making the same Amah, separating between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodashim. So that's altogether the 13 curtains that were there. Now she says, Zayin Sha'arim Na'azara, seven gates in Azara, Shtayim B'Devir, Ta'at Amat Rekseem, like we said, V'Shtayim Kenegdam Ba'aliyah, the second floor, Le'avdir Ben Aliyah Techa Le'ad Kodshei Kodashim, V'Gam Hem Mekom Amat Rekseem. On the second floor, you have to separate between the airspace of the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodashim as well.
Taru Rabbanan, Nashim and Begedelot B'nehem Le'para, Hayun Notlot Secharan, Mitrumat Adeshka.
Let's review this subject over here. The ladies that were raising their children for the Parah Adumah. What is this business of the ladies that raised their children in a certain way for the Parah Adumah? So Rashi tells us the story. Let's read Rashi.
Hamigadelot b'nehem l'parah. B'hatzerot b'nuyot b'sila'im b'irushalayim.
They would go to certain places that were built on bedrock, on solid ground, where the assumption was that there was no people buried underneath, so there would be no tum'ah possible to emanate from the ground. V'tahte'en halal, and they would also make sure that they would leave an airspace of a tefach separating from them and the ground, just in case that there was somebody buried in the kever at tehov. Somebody's buried deep there. Kedidam meschet para. Umaytina da mepinika yeshen ta'ata mita meschet sukkah. Uba'in nashim ubarot. The ladies were pregnant. They would come to that place. V'yodot sham umgedelot sham b'nehem nutsuvche para aduma. What do you need them for the para aduma? The kids are born with purity without any hashash of tum'ah. La'asuk b'srifata. They would burn the para aduma itself. Umilui memea. Filling the water. And also to sprinkle the Kohen that was actually going to involve himself in the ceremony. Why would they assume Mahmir? To make such a humrah, you have to get kids that were never tameh. The lady gave birth in this place over here. Because there was one kula that we learned in Masechet Yomah that they were lenient on the Parah Adumah. So to compensate that leniency, they had to be strict somewhere else. What was the leniency?
Tibul Yom, Kedetnan, Metamein, Ayua Kuena Soref, Taparam, Metbino Tol, Otsimin, Bunch of Siddukin, Sheumrim, Morabe Shemesh, Etanasi.
Jeez, we learned that the Siddukim held a Chumrah by Parah Adumah. They held that a Tibul Yom, that means somebody came Tabe, went to the Mikveh by day. Tibul Yom is Asur to do the Parah Adumah. He's got to wait until the night. He can't do Parah Adumah at night, you have to wait really till the next day. However, the Hakamim said no. Tevul Yom is mutar once he goes to the grave to do the Parah Adumah. And therefore, what did the rabbis do? They would seemingly banch and sedukim, they dafka with him, tameh, the one that was doing the Parah Adumah, to make him a Tevul Yom, let him go to the mikveh, and he would do the ceremony. They would seemingly banch. Now, since they went out of their way to do this leniency, to show up to sedukim, but they didn't want people to be zalzila Parah Adumah, so they had to compensate. So how did they compensate? They were mahmir to the largest extent in the beginning of the Parah Adumah. That what? That the lady would give birth in this place over here, 100% tahara, without any questions, in order to that we know the child is 100% pure. Now, who's supporting this lady when she's living in this city over here? So the Gemara says, Nashim amgedelot b'nehem neparah, hayun notot secharan, Mitrumat al-Ishka. Again, they would get paid from the Terumat al-Ishka. From the Lishka, that's where the Mahasit HaShekim. Abba Shaul Omer, Nashim Yikarot Yerushalayim, Yiyu Zanot Otam, Frasenot Otam. He said, no, the precious ladies of Yerushalayim, they went and they supported them, they gave them clothes, the rich ladies, as she says, and the different support. Ba'amine Ravuna Mirav. Okay, now we have a question. Kli sharet, the vessels, right? The vessels that are used by the mizbeach, right? As she says, mizbeach hachitzon we're talking about, which was made out of stone, which is really connected to the ground. Ma'u shi'asem mikodshe b'dekabayit. Those vessels that they use for the mizbeach, can it be spent from kodshe b'dekabayit? What's the question? Surche mizbeach ninu mikodshe b'dekabayit atu. Or surche korban ninu mitmat aleshka havu osinoto. Otan. He's like this. How do you consider it? If you're saying that the vessels are serving the mizbeach, again, the mizbeach is considered binyan. Binyan, we say, comes from b'dekabayit. Or do you say, no, the vessels are serving the korban. If it's serving the korban comes from Mahasid HaShekhar, that's through Matalishka. So the question is, the Kli Sharet, how do you classify it? You classify it as Kodshe Beit HaKabai, because it's serving the Mizbeah, which is a Binyan, or maintenance for the Beit HaMikdash, or as a service to the Korban itself. Yeah? And it says, Amale en na'asin ela mitrumat alishka, which means we look at Kli Sharet as Sorech Korban. Etibe, we have a question from a Pasuk in Devarei Yamim. Pasuk says, Uchalotam, after they collected all the money, Heviyu lefnei HaMelech, they brought it in front of the king, Vihoyada, et she'ar HaKesef, the remaining money, Vaya'aseu chelim lebet Hashem, Uchli Sheret, and they use it for Kli Sheret, and this money they collected for Beit HaKabai. That was a story in the Navi. They were collecting money for the maintenance of the Beit HaMikdash. So they brought the money, and they brought it to Yoyadaka, and they used it to buy vessels for the Mizbeah. So you see what? It's against what you just said. You said you'd use it from Terumat HaLishka. I don't know. They collected it from Beit HaKabai. Amar le, de akriyach ketube, lo akriyach nevi'eh. The one that taught you pesukim in the Tan and the Nevi'im, but you didn't learn the, the one that taught you the pesukim in the Ketubim did not teach you the Pesukim in the Nevi'im. Why? Because it says in the Nevi, Ach lo ya'aseh bet Hashem sipot, which means you cannot use from this money to make vessels. Sipot is vessels. Ki le'oseh melacha yitenuhu. You only give it to the oseh melacha, to the ones in the building. So you see clearly what money did they use for the Kli Sharet? Beit HaKabai, this Terumat HaLishka money. Again, the first pasuk is mashma what? They used the Beit HaKabai money. They collected the money for the maintenance of the Beit HaMikdash, gave it to Yehudah Kohen, and he made from it vessels. So the rabbi says, well, the one that taught you Ketubim, but you don't know the pasuk in the Navi. In the Navi it says what? That they did not use the money for support. Support, kesef, is the vessels. That means what? You can't use it for maintenance money. You got to use it from Terumat HaLishka. So the question is, Iyache kashuk ra'e adadeh. What do you mean? Because you have this contradiction in Pesukim. The Pesuk in Ketubim is mashma, they used it from Beit HaKabai money, the Kli Sharet. The Pesuk in the Navi is mashma, they used it from Terumat HaLishka. How do you reconcile the two Pesukim? Lakashya. Kan shegabu ve'otiru. Which means, if they collected and there was nothing left over, so then already, of course, you cannot use it for the monies itself, cannot use it for Kli Sharet. However, if they collected money for Beit HaKabai, there was leftover money, you can use it for Kli Sharet. Because what are you talking about? How could you, if there's leftover money, if they collected it for one purpose, how could you now shift it for another purpose? They collected it for maintenance, for the Beit HaMikdash, for Beit HaKabai. It's leftover, can you just go switch the funds now and use it for another purpose, for the Kli Sharet? Amar Rabbi Abu Lev Betin Matne Alehem. The Betin already makes a condition from the beginning. Im Utzlechu, Hutzlechu. Ve'im Lav Yulech Lesharet. Which they made a condition from the beginning. If we're going to need the money for the construction, that's for the construction. But if we're going to have extra, Betin already makes a condition, precondition from the beginning, that we're going to use it for Kli Sharet. So the Ve'er Ekanami, you could say that they used it from Kli Sharet as long as it was extra. Tana de Beit Bishma, the Braita for Bishma. Kli Sharet, the vessels that are serving the Mizbeah, Be'im Trumat HaLishka. They actually come from the Machsit HaShekhar, Trumat HaLishka. Shne'emar, because the Pasuk says, Ach, or Et, excuse me, Et, She'ar HaKesef. Right, what money was used? We looked at that pasuk we just quoted before, by the pasuk in Devarei Yamim. It says, which money did they use for the Kli Kodesh? It's She'ar HaKesef. She'ar HaKesef means the leftover money. What do you mean leftover money? So the Gemara says, Ezu Kesef She'esh Lo Shirayim. Which money is subject to leftovers? She'ar HaKesef, the money that's subject to leftovers. Have you omitted it? Why? What do you mean that is leftovers? We know that the Ma'asit HaShekel has a fiscal year. You can only spend Ma'asit HaShekel from Nisan to Nisan. If there's any leftover money by the following Nisan, you cannot use it anymore for the coming year. That's already considered old monies. So there is Shayach Shiram. There's no such thing as Shiram Beit HaKabayit. There's no time delay on Beit HaKabayit. You have extra money, just hold it until you need it. Now, Shaken by Trumat HaLashka, it's Shayach to call it Shiraim. So what does the Pasuk say? It's She'ar HaKesef. So therefore, it means money that Shayach to call it She'ar. So you see the Pasuk clearly says that we're using Trumat HaLashka money. Who says they used to the Lashka? Maybe they, we should read the Pasuk literal. When it says Sha'ara Kesef, maybe Dafka, the money that was indeed left over. Which means maybe they used Ma'asit HaShekel. Maybe the money that now Nisan passed, the next thing, whatever was left over, maybe that's the money they used for the Kli Sharet. Kabbara says, Kedamar Ava, Akrama says, Ha'ola. It says in the Pasuk, והאש על המזבח תוקדמו, לא תכבה, וביער עדי הכהן עצים בבוקר בבוקר, right in the morning, in the bed of the Mekdash, the Kohen puts wood on the מזבח, וערך עליה העולה. And what does he put on the מזבח? The עולה. So when it says the word העולה, what do we learn from the עולה? עולה ראשונה. So that's the first thing that goes on the מזבח. The extra head teaches me what? The olam is the first service on the mizbeach. Hakaname, hakesef, because the pasuk's language over there was lefnei melech v'yoida et she'ar hakesef. What does the word hakesef teach me? Kesef rishon, not the leftovers. The actual kesef is just like the word he and ha'ola teaches me the olam in the first olah. That's the first thing that goes on the mizbeach. Hakesef means the first monies, not the leftovers. But the fact that it says she'ar, it teaches me money that's shayach she'ar. What's money that's shayach leftovers? Trumat HaLashka money. But which, well, you don't use the leftovers. Use the hakesef, the actual, the firsts. So comes the Gemara and says, Metibe, we have a question. Okay. Haketoret. וכל קרבנות ציבור, אז זה קרבן תמיד, קרבן מוסף, באין מתרומת הלשכה. אוקיי, רק כמה שם נהיה קשור תרומת הלשכה, אז מה עשית השקר? אז קרבנות. קטורת אוסו, סורי קרבן. מזבח הזהב, now מזבח הזהב is the מזבח הקטורת actually, which is made out of gold, however it was movable, it wasn't attached to the ground. So since it's not attached to the ground, you cannot use it from Beit HaKabayit money, because it's not part of the binyan itself. So Mizbech HaZahav Ulbona, that's the frankincense they used to put in the spoons on the Shulchan with the Lechem HaPanim. Uchli Sharet Ba'in Mimotar Nesachin. Oh, right, there's the question. It comes from the leftovers, Motar, of the Nesachim of the Mizbeach. Of the Nesachim of the wine of the Mizbeach. Now what is that talking about? What is Motan Nesachim? So let's read Rashi. Rashi says Peligi ba b'masechet menachot b'perek shte middot b'bihiyah b'rabi Yosef amar b'rotze middot. What does b'rotze middot mean? She המספקים סלטות שקיבלו מעות הקדש לספק סלטות כל ימות השנה. Let's say that the people in the Beit HaMikdash, they would sell the flour to the people that were bringing menachot. So a guy comes and gives a shekel to the seller. So when he gives him the flour, that she writes modedin lehekdesh b'mida mevoretzet. It means hefty measures, meaning heaping. That's the word, heaping measures. Tefufa velo mehuka. Tefufa means heaping. V'amakriba, now the queen gets the flour, it's heaping. So what does he have to do? He has to smooth it out. So now you have extra flour. Moheka mida vehem motar nesachim. That's motar nesachim. That heaping measure. Now what do they do with it?
Umukhrin otan. They would sell it. Now with that money, that's the money that they would use for Mizbah Zahav, Libona, Klisharet. Okay? Now there's another shita. The Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kiotash Shaninu. Hamekabel alav lispok kol yimot hashana lehekdesh shlatot. Let's say the merchant, or the seller, we'll call him, he accepts upon himself, he's going to sell the flour in the Beit HaMikdash, right? So he accepts upon himself, me'arba se'in be'sela. Right? That was the price they made up. Four se'in for a se'la. Ve'amdu mishalosh. What happened? Price went up. Shinit yakiru. Doesn't matter, he takes the loss. Maspik me'arba. He's got to give the four for the same se'la. Now, v'amekabel l'sapik mishalosh. Now, let's say the opposite. He says, I'm going to sell three for a se'la. And now the price went down. Ve'uzlu, ve'amdu midalad. Now you can get four for the se'la. He's got to get four. Mespik dalad. Ve'zui shishinu motan nesachim nekayitza mizbaya. So there's extra of it, which means now they have an extra amount. They're getting extra solid. Because he accepted upon himself to say, let's say, three for a se'la. Right? How the guy gives a se'la, he's getting four. So what would they do with the extra monies? That extra money, of the extra flour, they would sell it, take the money, and use it for, like we just said, Mizbah Zahav, Lebona, Klisharet, etc. Continue the Braita, Mizbah HaOla. Now the Mizbah HaOla was the Mizbah that's actually attached to the ground. So that's considered Binyan. HaLeshachot VeHazarot, those are the different offices. In the Beit HaMikdash, that's the Leshachot. Azarot are actually courtyards. Ba'in mekotche Beit HaKabayit. Good, because that's exactly maintenance of the construction. Chutz lechomat ha'azara. But anything that was outside of the wall of the Azara, that's like Azat Nashim, and the different areas, they're called Tehel, which was outside the area of the Beit HaMikdash, or the walls of Yerushalayim. Ba'in mishiyare al-Leshachot. What is shiyare al-shachot? That's the leftover shekalim on the Shchodesh Nisan. Whatever was left over on the Shchodesh Nisan, that was used for these items over here. Mm-hmm. Okay? Sorry. Now, let's read the Rashi. Mizbach ha'ola shu binyan. It's attached to the ground. Ba'mikotche bedek ha'bayit. Chutz l'chomat ha'azara, kegon azat nashim, v'achel, v'chomat ha'ir, that's the walls of Jerusalem, u'megdolotea, ba'im mishirayim anotarim b'lishka, kishitru tarmua b'kupot. Which means, the law, the custom was, what they do three times a year, they would take the shekalim, and they would empty them into kupot, into jugs, into kupot, actually baskets, we'll call them, right? And they would do it like in Nisan, then before Shavuot, then before Sukkot. 3 times a year they would empty. Now whatever's left over in these baskets is considered shiure teruma, mishkat teruma. So they would use that for the walls outside of Yerushalayim. So basically we have a Gemara's question over here. What's the Gemara's question? You just told me that what? That the law of the klisharet is used from Terumat Alishka money, but from this bright that's much better used from Shiure Nisachin. What is Shiure Nisachin? It's Machloket. Shiure Nisachin means the extra heaping measure that they would sell, or in the case where, let's say, the price went got cheap and they would sell more for the same amount, so the extra measure they would sell, but that's what they would use the Beit HaKabayit for, the Klisharet for, not the Terumat Alishka. So the Gemara says, side point, Zui Shishaninu, you should know, when we just said that those walls of Jerusalem, they spent it from the leftovers of the Shiare Leshachot, that's what we learned in Masechet Shechalim, Chomat, Ta'ir, Megdolotea, Ve'chos Lachke Ha'ir, all the walls and the buildings of Jerusalem, Ba'im Shiare HaLeshka, they come from Shiare HaLeshka. Good, but what do we see from the Braita? It comes from Motan Nesachim, but not from Terumat, HaLeshka. Gemara's answer, Tanna'ehi, it's actually a Machloket Tanna'im, where the Klisharet come from, either from Motan Nesachim, or from
Terumat Alishka. Now we're going to see it inside. Ditna, we learned the Masechet Shekalim. Motar Terumah. What is that talking about? The monies that remain in the kupah after, let's say, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Which means now you have to start bringing from the new monies, right? Once Rosh Chodesh Nisan comes, whatever's left in the kupot, that's considered motar terumah. The leftovers, we'll call it the surplus of terumah. Not terumah, it's just terumah, meaning of the machatzit shekel, the leftovers. Mayu osin ba. What do they do with it? What do they spend it for? Likurei zahav, sipui lebet kotzei kodashim. They would buy gold plates to plate the walls and the floor of the Kodesh Kodashim. Rabbi Ishmael Omer, motar perot. The surplus of fruit, we don't know what that is yet, we'll wait for the Gemara to explain that to us. The Kaitza Mizbeach. Kaitza Mizbeach means, literally for the dessert of the Mizbeach. What does it mean? The Mizbeach has to be working all day long. So you have Nidarim, Nidavot, etc. But let's say the Mizbeach, it's a slow day. So what do you have to do? You got to supply the Mizbeach with Korban Ola. So who would pay for these Korban Ola? So this is from the surplus of the fruit, they would buy extra animals just to keep the Mizbeach flowing. Now the word Kayetz really means dates. But the reason why they refer to it as dessert, because they used to eat dates as dessert. So therefore they say Kayetz, the dessert of the Mizbeach, is the Korbanot that would just keep it fueled all day. Umotar Terumah. And this shita says, motar terumah, the surplus of terumah would go to kli sharet. Okay? So that's that shita. Good? That's the shita of Tarakama. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva comes along and says, motar terumah, he says, the surplus of terumah, that would go what? Leketz HaMizbeach. Umotar nesachim nechli sharet. So by the way, we see a Tanna Rabbi Akiva that says Motar Nesachim goes for a Kli Sharet. Rabbi Harinasa Karekonim Omer Motar Nesachim. He says Motar Nesachim goes for Kitza Mizbeach, for the Mizbeach. Umotar Terumah Lichri Sharet. And the surplus of the Terumah goes for Kli Sharet. Zev Zev. I mean, Rabbi Akiva and Harinasa Karekonim both agree. Lo, I'm sorry. Lo ayu modim beperot. They didn't agree with the Bishmael regarding the surplus of perot. So bottom line, Rabbi Akiva is the only one that discusses surplus of perot. Rabbi Ishmael, I'm sorry. I repeat. Rabbi Akiva and Hanina Segana Kohanim, they did not agree to Rabbi Ishmael. Rabbi Ishmael held there's a concept called surplus of perot. We're going to get to what that means. Those two rabbis, Rabbi Ishmael and Rabbi Akiva, did not agree. Gonna be Akiva, gonna be Hanina, gonna be not agree to be Ishmael, gonna be the surplus of Perot. But what do you see from this Braita? You see over here that according to Rabbi Ishmael, and if I ask you, according to Kli Sharet was made from Motar Lishka, was made from the Kli Sharet was made from the surplus of the Turmat Lishka, which is like the opinion of Vlad that we said originally, that what? It comes from the Turmat Lishka. Not from the Nesachin. But you do see it's a machloket actually. So therefore, we originally brought a bride that says it comes from Motar Nesachim. Rav, you're going against the bride. What do you want from me? It's a machloket the name. I have rabbis that say it comes from Motar Lishka. Now, it should be noted. So it comes out when we said Terumat Lishka, it doesn't mean they use Machazit HaShekel actually. It means the surplus of the Machazit HaShekel. They use for Kli Sharet. Which means the regular Machazit HaShekel they use for Korbanot. But if there's leftover, whatever's left over at the end of the year, that they use already for the Kli Sharet. That's a clarification. Okay, they give us a chart over here. So let's look at the chart actually. So we can go through it once, just to get the summary over here. Okay, you have what's called Terumat Lishka. Terumat Lishka, that was used, that's Machazit HaShekel. Not used for Korbanot. Then you have Motar Terumat Lishka. That's the surplus of Terumat Lishka. So that's already, Tanakama says, use it for the gold sheets, for the Holy of Holies. Rabbi Ishmael says, use it for the vessels, Kli Sharet.
Rabbi Akiva says use it for kites and mizbeach. Rabbi Hanan Sagarim says use it for the kli sheretz. Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Hanina Sagarim agree on that item. So that's like Rav. Okay? And then you have the next item is the remainders of the lishka. Okay, that's the remainders of the lishka. That's for the maintenance of the city of Jerusalem. That's for the walls and the buildings and all that. Now, what is the remainders of the lishka? There's a difference between the surplus of the lishka and the remainders of the lishka. We'll go back to that in a second. And you have Bedik Abayit, which obviously for the construction of the Beit HaMikdash itself. That we understand. And then we have the excess of the Nesachim, which we have a Mahlokan on that as well. That we said, the excess of Nesachim, according to the Bi'akiva, it's for the Kli Sharet. And according to Hanasagan Akwanim, it's for the Kaitza Mizbeah. But we have to understand now, what is the remainders of the Lishka and the surplus of the remainders of the Lishka? Now we have to check that out. Okay, let's just review the terminologies over here one last time. You have what's called Terumat Lishka. Terumat Lishka itself is the Machzit HaShekel. That's used for Korbanot, no argument on that. Then you have the Terumat, you have the Motar Terumat Lishka. That's the, when the Chodesh Nisan comes, any shekels that were left in the basket itself, the kupot. So that's already Machloket Tanaim. Tarekamas is used for the gold sheets for the Kodesh Kodeshim. And Rabbi Ishmael and Rabbi Hanina Sagan HaKonim say use it for the Kli Sharet. Rabbi Akiva says use it for Kayetz HaMizbeah. Then you have the Motar HaLishka. That's the item that didn't even get to the basket yet. They just remained in the treasury. So those items are used for the maintenance of the city of Jerusalem. And then you have the Motar Terumat HaLishka. That's the leftovers, whatever's left over for that. So that's that already was used for Kayetz HaMizbeah. Then you have Bedika buy it. That's the regular monies that were sanctified for the maintenance of the Beit HaMikdash, which is used for the buildings itself. And then you have the excess of the Nesachim, Mutan Nesachim, which we also had a machloket on that, where the Rabbi Akiva says it was used for the Kli Sharet, and the Rabbi Hanina said it was used for Kayetz HaMizbeah. For our purposes, we learned that what? It is indeed a machloket, as we have to crystallize, machloket, what the Kli Sharet that served the Mizbeah were. Which monies were used. Either it was from the leftover of the Nesachim, like we learned, or it was actually the surplus of Terumat HaLishka, which is actually the monies that were left in the baskets from one Nisan to another Nisan. Comes the Gemara and continues and said, Perot Mahi. Now we said that both rabbis agreed that what? The Bi'akivanim, Hanina's Goanim say that we don't hold to this perot business that Rabbi Ishmael subscribed to. Now, what is this business of perot? So comes the Gemara and says, my perot my detanya, motar teruma, which means whatever was left in the baskets from one year to the next, from one Nisan to the next, now you also, what do they do with the extra money? Lochin perot bezol, they would buy fruit for cheap, umochin utam biyoka, sell it expensive, vasachar mekaitzin bot ha-mizbeah, and what, they would use that money for kaitz ha-mizbeah, for korbanot on the mizbeah, vezoi shishaninu motar perot, the kaitz ha-mizbeah, that's what we learned, the Masechet Shelem Rabbi Ishmael said, that with the money that they brought, they profited from the perot, they were using it for kaitz ha-mizbeah, mai ze vaze lo yamudim beperot. Now what does it mean when do not agree with Ishmael when it comes to the perot. That's what we're saying now. That's the leftovers money surplus of the lishka, which means after, let's say, they use the money, let's say, for the construction of the buildings of Jerusalem. That was used from the money that was left in the treasury. They didn't even get to the baskets yet. They used that to build the walls of Jerusalem and the buildings in Jerusalem. Now they still have leftover money. So what would they do with the surplus of the money that was left in the treasury? They would buy wine, oil, and slatot is flour, right? And they would sell it now to the people in the Beit HaMikdash who need to bring mincha. Right, they would resell it. Who would get the profit? Lechdesh, the Rebbe Ishmael.
You don't make business with the money of Vekdesh, af lo beshel aniim, which means not only a Vekdesh, but also money of the aniim. Let's say there's money in a fund for the aniim. You don't go start investing it to try to make it grow. So the Gemara says, beshel Vekdesh, my tamalo. What's the reason why you don't invest money of Vekdesh? Aniyu en aniyut benkom ashirut. Bet Vekdesh is wealthy. There's opulence, there's affluence. We're not going to start now trying to cut corners and sell the extra money you sell to buy fruit and profit. It's a cheap thing to do. We don't act like poverty in a place of wealth. Now, why don't you invest the money of the anim to make more money? Because we're worried that what's going to happen, maybe an ani is going to need money. And what's going to happen? It's invested. You're not going to be able to give it to him. So therefore, you don't invest. You keep the money, the anim, ready. So what do you see over here, according to this opinion of Rabbi Akiva? There's no such thing as pirot. Where according to Rabbi Yishmael, he says what? From the surplus of the lishka, what did they do after they spent it on the walls of Jerusalem and all that they have left over? Sell it, buy fruit, and you know, make money for the Kodesh. Comes Rabbi Akiva and says, "No, we don't do that to start selling the money of the Kodesh to sell fruit and to resell it to make money. That's already a cheap thing to do." And when it comes to the money of the Anim as well, you don't invest it. Why don't you invest it? Because we don't want the Anim to come to the fund and they're going to say the money's not there; it's invested. Therefore, the money stays there as well. ברוך הבא לעולם, אמן.